We're here to celebrate this morning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a great Lord. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to be reading this morning from the King James, or New King James Scriptures, rather. We do have some Bibles at the back if you'd like to borrow one this morning. You're most welcome to them. I'm going to read the Scriptures, and we're going to put them up on the overhead as well, and I'll have you read them out loud with me as we go through the Scriptures. This morning, the message title is called Celebrate the Hope. Hope. Some call hope the anchor for the soul. Hope's dashed, we understand what that's like. Hope's lost, it's a reason for despair and a reason for loneliness. Suicide is endemic in our nation. Teen suicide continues to escalate at alarming rates. Lives finished before they've even begun. I think it's a travesty, don't you? It's a terrible tragedy in our nation. What is hope? Webster's 1828 dictionary refers to hope as this: a desire of some good, accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that it's obtainable. How many think that you're in for something good today? Are you expecting something good? Not just from church, but how about the afternoon meal? At least a slight expectation of receiving it. And some wives are sitting there going, if he hurries, that expectation might just be fulfilled. Desire of something good. A future that you believe in. A future and a hope, the Bible says God gives us. A future, a hope, a confidence that this future is at least obtainable. Something's out there and I'm heading for it. And in fact, it's Jesus there and He's bringing me to His will and His plan. But a few days ago, we celebrated Good Friday. And I'm not going to spend much time on Good Friday. We've already done that. But 2,000 years ago, on what's become known as Good Friday, the one whom 11 remaining disciples and many followers thought was the Messiah was killed. Taken from them in a terrible fashion. No one ever was pre-tortured to the degree that Jesus Christ was pre-tortured on the cross. He was betrayed by a friend's kiss, spat upon, bloodied, and beaten and mocked. He was scourged. And those of you who understand, you've probably heard before the scourging took place with a whip made up of leather thongs, and on the ends of those strands were pieces of bone or rock, perhaps pieces of metal, and it would be slapped into his back and then it would rip the flesh off of his back. Blood was everywhere. It was passed around from Pilate to Herod and then back to Pilate, and he went under illegal trials and he was mocked. Show me a sign. Oh, the circus has come to town. Do me a sign. Do a miracle for us, Jesus. And a crown of 3-inch thorns crammed into his head and spikes driven into his wrists and his feet. And crucifixion was one of the most cruel punishments and tortures known to man. Now, Romans didn't invent crucifixion. They only perfected it. And it was only their capital punishment for a short period of time. And as you look into your history, it was just a brief window that crucifixion really was on the scene as capital punishment for the worst of criminals. When Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, He fulfilled 300 prophecies. That's pretty remarkable. Be remarkable to do 1, 10, 20. Be remarkable to do 50. 300? That's awfully incredible. What a coincidence, don't you think? But God saw to it that Jesus came at just the right time. The Bible had already had prophecies about the Messiah being crucified on a cross. But Good Friday gives way to Great Sunday, don't you know? Say amen or oh no. Sorry, you could talk to me in this church. Good Friday gives way to Great Sunday. It was on the cross when Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Thank God we're all here today because of His forgiveness. Isn't that true? He cries out, My God, why have you forsaken me? And he was forsaken by God on your behalf and on mine. But then he cries out something remarkable. Remember what it was? It is finished. Say it with me. It is finished. One more time. It is finished. What's finished? The Bible said the wages of sin is death. Without the shedding of blood, there's no removal of sin. There's no taking away of sin from the sinner. By one man's death, Many are made righteous, the Bible says. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son. If you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. Somebody to represent you. Jesus Christ the righteous. It is finished. The payment for sin. The payment that all of those animals for all those hundreds of years couldn't take away your sin. It could cover you over, but not change a heart on the inside. But Jesus did that. How many are glad Jesus went to the cross so you and I don't have to? Could it be? Is it possible to be forgiven? Is it really possible to be made clean? I mean, you know, if you're anything like me, don't you have some things in your heart you just don't want anybody to see this morning? Aren't you glad it's not up on a screen here? I just don't want some of that stuff play out, don't you know? But God sees. And when you come to Jesus, Jesus forgives. Jesus cleanses. Jesus makes whole. The sun shines in. Amen. It all hinges on His promise. His promise. In 3 days, I will rise again. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I'll read the first 8 verses so far. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, let's read it. I think we're probably going to need to close that if we're going to read that again. Sorry, Sue. Thank you. No problem. After Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like what? Say it with me. Lightning. Wow. His clothing was as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Wow, that's powerful. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. And they ran to bring the disciples His word. I want you to consider 3 things with me this morning. I want you to consider the passion. I want you to consider the power. And I want you to consider the priority. The passion, the power, and the priority that leads to our being able to celebrate the hope. Number one, consider the passion of what Jesus did. We've passed through what's called the Passion Week. You've heard of the word compassion. With passion, He did these things with purpose and with intent. Jesus went through it all. I've just rehearsed some of those things with you. But let's take a look at what a couple of Marys did. Mary came to the tomb. She was up at dawn. Scripture tells us they were coming to the tomb to further anoint the body of Jesus with further spices and more spices. Now, when you look into what that means those 2 ladies in the dawn were packing through town 100 to 110 pounds of spices. How many of you think that was an easy task? No, I don't think so. It doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man. That's just a pile of spices, don't you think? In Jerusalem, in the higher elevation air, the body would be approachable after a few days. Yet the smell and stench of death would still be pretty strong. The hot Mediterranean climate, if it had been a lower climate, would have had a horrible stench to it. That's why they anointed the bodies with spices, to try to prevent that odor, and those who were family and friends kept close watch over the body. But what do we have here? Hope is gone. No expectancy. They didn't expect coming to see life. They expected to anoint the body of Jesus with more spices. They just had this passion, this love for their Lord and Savior. Now, the word earthquake up here, the Greek word is seismos. That sounds familiar to our English word, doesn't it? Seismic activity. The seismos means a commotion, a gale. God makes a grand entry. I love that. Don't you love that? Take a look at when Jesus was born. Did He make a grand entry? Yeah, light splits the sky. You got a heavenly choir singing. The Lord really knows how to make a scene. So what does He do now? Now, you know, that's when He's born. Now He's coming out of the grave. So there's a huge earthquake, a real trembling and rumbling that takes place. And this is really cool. So the angel, okay, play along with me. Remember the old westerns? pull out the safe gun, bam, bam, bam. I see the angel kind of like that. Earthquake! Stone rolled away! And he just sits on top of the stone. I think that's pretty cool. Just sitting there, enjoying God's glory. The Bible says his countenance was like lightning. That means literally bright and shining. Say that for Pastor Carl's behalf. He's written a book about that. The raiment white as snow. And the fear of the angel caused those guarding the tomb literally to shake and faint. They pass out. Now, this is really cool. Can you imagine that? How would you like to have been the guard on that day? I'd rather be one of the Marys at the tomb, but can you imagine being one of the guards on that day? Whoa, what's going on? Oh my gosh. They faint. Hazardous duty pay is what they get. That word shake means seco, or sail, rather. It means to rock, to agitate, to tremble, to throw into a tremor. They were rocking and rolling in agitation and trembling before God. They were literally thrown into a tremor. How many of you think that our nation could use a little bit more proper shaking before God? They became as dead men, frozen, like corpses. Now, if you read the background to this, the Jewish mindset of angels, they believed angels showed themselves visibly as fiery ones. And ancient Judaism typically believed angels were made of fire. And it terrified people. How many of you understand that's why every time an angel shows up, his first words are, "Fear not." It's terrifying. Think about the guards for a minute. Just think about it. Anybody in this room ever try to keep a guard on God? Well, Lord, I don't mind you being in this little area of my life. I don't mind you just stay put in your box. Now, I don't mind you for an hour on Sunday morning. I mind if it goes an hour and a half. But don't bug me too much. This Jesus stuff. You know, don't get too serious about this Jesus stuff. You know, you might not want to go to that church. They're a little radical. They greet each other there. But I love it. The guards faint from fear, and God lets them. But to the ladies, God says, "Fear not." Pretty cool. Facing the Giants is a movie that's contemporary right now. Good movie. And one of the comments they made in that statement was a statement that "do not fear" is in the Bible 365 times. And Pastor Sherry said, that means once for every day, God's message to you is, do not fear, but surrender to Him. He is risen, the angel's message was. That's igero, to waken, to rouse, to stand. Consider the passion of Jesus, the passion of Mary's, the passion of God. And now it's time to go tell this good news. And there's hope that's burning in their spirit. Jesus was gone. They didn't go to the tomb thinking He was alive. And all of a sudden, He's alive. This is too good to keep to ourselves. Let's go run and tell the message. They depart quickly. And the Bible literally means they escaped and quickly ran to go tell. With fear and great calm delight is the meaning of those words. They run with haste to bring the message. Now, consider the power. So we've considered the passion, now consider the power. On the cross again, Jesus cries out, "It is finished." Now the stone is rolled away, and God declares, "It is enough." It is finished, and now it's enough. The payment is paid. And up from the grave, He what? Verse 9 through 15, if you'll read along. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held Him by the feet, and they worshipped Him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. I'll bet they did. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, His disciples came at night and stole Him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease Him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews to this day. The power of God is revealed through His love here. Jesus responds to His believers. I just love this. The angel had already given these ladies this message. Jesus comes and gives them exactly the same message. But you know what I see here? I think it's so cool. Jesus has risen from the dead. The angel's given the message. And you've got these ladies who literally believe Him. They love Him. They believe Him. They're there because they're passionate for Him. And it's like Jesus is saying, No, wait. I just have to show myself to you. Here I am. And He gives them the same message. He loves to meet those who believe Him. He loves to meet with you, with worshipers. He loves to meet with us. The power of God revealed. It's like He's saying, these are my friends. I want to talk to them for a moment. Don't be afraid. Don't be alarmed. What a message personally from Jesus to them. Revealed to worshipers, and the Bible says they hold Him by their feet, or by His feet. They worship Him. The word in the Greek is kroteo. They use strength. They try to seize and retain Him. And the word worship is proskuneo. It means to kiss, like a dog licking his master's hand, to bow down. They just fall at His feet, and they adore Him. We're talking this morning about celebrating the hope. They had no hope. And now it's back. Church, can we adore this Savior in the same way? Is He worthy of your love and your praise? Is He worthy of your song and your adoration? When two or three are gathered in My name, two or three believers, two or three worshipers, what does Jesus say? I'm right there. I'm in their midst. His power is revealed now even to the soldiers. It's been revealed to those guarding the tomb. Like the soldier sent to Jesus to arrest Him in the garden. Remember what happened? His ear is cut off. And Jesus heals his ear. That's pretty remarkable, don't you think? How many of you think the soldiers still wanted to just arrest Him and mistreat Jesus after He'd been healed? Are you all with me there? Back in the Garden of Eden? Garden of Eden. Very good. Garden of Gethsemane? That was just a test, seeing if you're still with me. Let's sing our high notes. No, okay. But look at God's power. Notice, they go concoct a story about the disciples stealing the body of Jesus. Will you think with me for a moment? Do grave robbers usually steal the bodies? What do they steal? The goodies. They steal the stuff. They don't steal a naked, bloody body. And if these ladies were going to steal the body of Jesus, do you think they would have hauled 110 pounds of spices through the town? But what's remarkable, is they come up with this story. But do you see something? They don't dispute the empty grave. They don't dispute the empty tomb. They just have to try to come up with a story to cover it. And there is no covering the story. The truth is, Jesus rose from the dead. Turn to each other and say, Jesus rose from the dead. Wake up! He rose from the dead! So what do we have? We have passion. We have power. And now His power is revealed to His disciples in verses 16 through 18. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. The 11 disciples see Him. They rejoice. They worship Him. Some waver in doubt. Remember doubting Thomas? Jesus said, go ahead. Put your hands here. See that it's really Me. They were in despair. And all of a sudden, there's hope again. Forgiveness is real. God is real. The promises we thought were true, we thought they were dashed. But they're real. Praise God, you're alive. Can you imagine what must have been burgeoning in their soul and bubbling in their spirits? You're alive. You're really alive. These crazy ladies told us you were alive and we didn't believe them. That's not a good testimony, is it, guys? Guys, believe your wives. And all the women said? Yeah. All right, didn't want to split the camp here this morning. There's hope. There's forgiveness. And Jesus is saying, I did this for you. Yes, I'm alive. Yes! The good news. Hope in your spirit is real. All power. Greek word is exousia. Power, authority. All dynamic and dunamis power in heaven and in earth is in me. And I'm alive and I give it to you. Wow. Resurrection grace. Isn't that good news? Now the priority. What's Jesus' priority? He did his part. Now he's asking us to do our turn. What does he want? Number one, he wants you to know this morning that hope is real. Deliverance is real. Forgiveness is real. Salvation is real. Jesus is real. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, it's real. And he did it for you. And he did it for me. Turn to each other. Say, he did it for you. Hope is real. And it's your portion and mine today. Number two, he wants you to surrender to him. Quote it with me, would you? John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now the next verse goes on to say, if you don't believe, you're condemned. If you believe, you've got hope. Matthew 28:19-20. What does he want? He wants your whole life and mine. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always. How often?
Come on.
How often?
Always.
Thank you. Hard of hearing every now and then. Just like to hear it. Always. Always. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now the Bible says, what's his goal? What's his priority? Teach all nations, all people everywhere, all nations, teach. Matthew 2:0, Greek word meaning become a pupil, a disciple, enroll as a scholar. Get your master degree in Jesus. Study, learn, grow. Around here, we try to spend our time encouraging each other and reading and studying the Word of God. It's the Bible that gets engrafted into our heart. It's the Bible that has the words of life. I could give you a sermonette for a Christianette, give you three poems, send you home, say, but you know what? You're going to be a lot more strengthened if I give you Jesus from His Word. And if we give one another the Lord. Teach them all. Make disciples. Now that's an interesting word. Make disciples. Not just attenders. I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to be convicting this morning. I'm just saying, it's just the reality of the depth. Give them substance. Baptize them. Teach them. Obey. Teach them to be mine. On this Easter, what is Jesus wanting? Recognize the reality of how much He loves you. Recognize that if you haven't recognized it yet, you're a sinner, lost without Jesus. He's the Savior. He's the one who died, was buried, and risen again for you. Ask Him to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, to forgive you of your sin. Surrender your life to Him. Come to church. Enjoy the presence of the Lord and learn of His ways. He's making disciples, people who will be just like Him. What's the Easter message? How can we celebrate the hope? The Easter message is Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the one we love and the one who loves you. Pray with me. Bow your head and pray. Lord Jesus, just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I recognize You are the Savior, the Lord, King of Kings. You went to the cross for me. You bore my punishment, my sorrow, my griefs and sicknesses. You were buried. You rose again. Now, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Take over my life. And now I thank You for doing just that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Who and what is your priority? Who and what is His priority? You're His, and He wants to be yours. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Is hope real? Yeah. It exploded within these fearful men. One of the best proofs that Jesus' resurrection is real is the fact that 11 fearful men went on to boldly proclaim His word and literally change the world with Jesus and His life. Today, let's celebrate the hope. And I'm going to close with a story. And we're going to sing You Are Lord once again. Elaine, that's if you'll come. But I want you to listen to the story. Some of you have heard this story before. But I think it's a great summation of Easter. There was a little boy named Jeremy who was born with a twisted body and a slow mind. At the age of 12, he was still in second grade, seemingly unable to learn. His teacher just was exasperated with Jeremy. She couldn't handle the noises he would make. He would sit, he would shift in his seats. He was a distraction to all the other students around him. And sometimes he spoke clearly and distinctly, and other times he simply slurred his words. And it was just a difficult situation. Jeremy totally irritated his teacher. One day she called his parents and asked them to come in and visit with her in the classroom. And when they came in, she poured her heart out to them and she said, "I'm sorry, but you are just going to have to take Jeremy to a special school. He's distracting the other students in the class and I just can't give him that kind of time." The wife gently began to wipe away the tears from her eyes. And the husband spoke up and he said, "Ma'am, we can't afford that kind of school. That kind of school is so far away. But I want you to sincerely note that Jeremy loves you. And he loves being in this classroom. And we think he's learning something here." Well, the teacher, after they left, sat and shook her head and thought, "Oh gosh, how am I going to handle this? I just can't take this." And after a while, she gently was convicted before the Lord and realized this little boy needs her help. And the least that she can do is try to provide that kind of help. So she determined in her heart, "From now on, I'm going to be patient with Jeremy." Anybody ever made that kind of a decision? Parents, from now on, I'm going to be patient with this son or daughter sitting right next to me today. One day, Jeremy walks into class and he looks at her and walks right up to class in front of everybody. "I love you, Mrs. Miller." Embarrassingly, she looks at him and she goes, "Well, I love you too, Jeremy. Now please take your seat." She just shook her head to herself. Now it became spring and there was Christian opportunity in this school. So she did something special. She had an assignment she was going to give to everybody. And everybody was talking about Easter coming. And so she said, "I've got a special project that I want for you all. I want to emphasize the story of Jesus and new life springing forth. And so I'm giving to each of you children a large plastic egg. I want you to take this home. And I want you to bring it back tomorrow with something inside of the egg that will show new life. Do you all understand?" And Jeremy sat with the egg in his hand and said nothing, but peered intently at the teacher. And she thought to herself, "You know, if I'm really going to have this be successful, I need to call his parents tonight. And I need to talk to them about the project." Well, that evening, as is wont to happen upon occasion, her sink stopped up. Anybody's sink ever stop up? Okay, sure. Anybody ever been frustrated in life? Anything? I see that hand. Okay. Of course. And she called the landlord in and she had people helping her fix her sink. And man, she was just overwrought with this problem. And consequently, she forgot all about calling Jeremy's parents. The next morning, 19 kids come into school laughing, talking, joking, and having a good time, and they bring their eggs with them. And then Mrs. Miller, the teacher, says, all right, begin to show me your eggs. And the first one comes up, and inside the little egg, there's a flower. And the teacher says, oh, great, a flower is a great sign of spring, a new life. When plants come through the ground, we know spring is here. Small girl in the front row waves her arm and she says, Now do my egg, Mrs. Miller. Do mine. And inside there was a little plastic butterfly, which looked very real, and the teacher holds it up. We all know that a caterpillar changes and grows into a beautiful butterfly. Yes, good job. That's new life too. There's a little girl says, Now that next one's mine. Do mine. There was a rock with moss on it. She explained that moss showed life. Billy speaks up from the back of the classroom. My dad helped me do mine. She opens the fourth egg. She gasped. It was empty. Nothing. She thought to herself, it's got to be Jeremy's. I forgot to call his parents. Jeremy didn't understand. If only she hadn't forgotten. But she didn't want to embarrass Jeremy, so she put the egg back and set it to the side. And little Jeremy looked up and he raised his hand. He said, wait a minute, Mrs. Miller, aren't you going to talk about my egg? And she goes, well, Jeremy, your egg is empty. And he looks into her eyes and he says, yes. But Jesus' grave was empty too. And she looks at him and she says, well, Jeremy, do you understand what happened? And little Jeremy looks up and he says, I know that Jesus was killed for me. And he was put into a tomb. And then he raised up. So now his grave is empty. The teacher cried. The student sat still. Then they just began to love this little boy. 3 months later, Jeremy died because of the afflictions in his body. And when people came to visit the grave that day, they all stood amazed because what they saw on top of little Jeremy's casket was 19 plastic eggs. Jesus went into a tomb, dead, buried, bearing your sins and mine upon himself. And he said, just hang on. Forgiveness is real. Deliverance is real. Hope is real. And I'm coming back. I'm coming out of the grave. This grave can't keep me and your sin can't keep me. And there's not a thing that'll hold me back from coming to you. All you have to say is, come in, Jesus. I believe you. There's a hope here today to celebrate. Don't you agree?
Yes.
And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. Let's stand.
Father, we thank you that we have the privilege once again of commemorating, remembering, and celebrating Resurrection Sunday. All that it means, all that it provides, all that we can receive and accept and appropriate in our lives. All that we can then share with others that they too might know resurrection life through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the privilege of gathering this morning and enjoying the opportunity to worship and fellowship and learn and be changed by the grace and mercy and love of our God and Father in Jesus Christ, the wonderful Holy Spirit, to make it real. Amen. Amen. You know, one of the greatest proofs of the resurrection, proofs of the resurrection, is its transforming power. The disciples followed Jesus. They were followers for 3.5 years. Sometimes petulant, sometimes competitive, sometimes making mistakes. All sorts of things, but they were still followers. But after they met the resurrected Lord, they were transformed into leaders. Leaders willing to be martyrs. All but one died as a martyr. What a change the resurrected Christ can make in our lives. Now, I want you to receive this morning If you want to receive a touch, hold out a finger. If you want to receive a little bit, hold out a hand. If you want to receive 110 pounds of the spice of life,
hold out both arms, like you're really going to receive.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance, His smiling, giving favor upon thee, and give thee peace. Go in peace. But go with the spice of life, the excitement and fullness that God has to give for you to enjoy and to share. Amen. You're dismissed.